Tonight, I want to first of all say thanks to a few different groups of people. First of all, the guys who are helping me out tonight. I really appreciate y'all be willing to do this for me tonight. Help us praise the Lord. And I want to thank Ray Baker for asking me to speak. I really appreciate the opportunity. And I'd also like to thank the elders. I don't know if we give the elders here enough credit for this service. It's so uplifting. And to come here as a student body at 5:45 on Wednesday nights and just to worship the Lord together is a great experience, and it's a good way for us to get closer as a campus. A couple of weeks ago, Ray introduced the topic of Unplugged. He got up here and he kind of introduced what we were going to be talking about. And then last week we had a great lesson from Austin Oakley, and he talked about media. And I know that when I first heard about Unplugged, that's the first thing that popped in my head was media, because we all are pretty much constantly using some type of electronic device, whether it be our computers or our cell phones. But something else that we do on a daily basis is we interact with people. We have relationships with people. And when I saw the topic, I knew that I had to do this topic because I'm quite the ladies' man. Now, I know by looking at me, you may not be able to tell that, but I am quite the ladies' man, or at least I was when I was six in kindergarten. I had my first girlfriend, and I don't really remember a lot about her. I don't even really remember her name, but I remember this one time in a kindergarten class. It was an awesome day. I was having a great day. Some awesome luck was coming my way, because I looked on the ground, and I found a quarter. And now, that's not a big deal now, but kindergarten, a quarter, that was like a free gumball. Awesome. Anyway, so I went to my girlfriend, and I wanted to tell her the news about me finding the quarter. And so I said, hey, I found a quarter today. And she said, either you give me that quarter, or I'm going to break up with you. And I was just speechless. I was, what do I do in this situation? So I thought about it for a while. It was a tough decision, but I did what any logical young man would do, and I gave her the quarter because, you know, love's worth at least 25 cents. So, but I did learn a valuable lesson that day. Having a girlfriend is pretty expensive. Here at Freed Hardeman, there will be a lot of opportunities for relationships, not just romantic relationships, even though I'm sure there's a lot of good interface love going on right now still, but also friendships. If you ask anyone here at Freed, they'll tell you that one of the best parts about Freed is the people that attend the school. As I mentioned before, our topic for the student-led service this semester is Unplugged. And this is so important to us because even at a place that we can grow spiritually like Freed Hardeman, there are tons of distractions in our lives. And we all know that breaking off a friendship or a relationship is one of the hardest things that we can do. But at some point in our lives, if the relationship that we are in is not serving its purpose, then we are going to have to break off the relationship. So tonight, there are three words that I think that will help us to have the most beneficial relationships. And those words are people, purpose, and priorities. The first thing we must focus on is surrounding ourselves with the right kind of people. Some of you have heard the story of Christopher McCandless. There was a movie made about him and also a book back in the 90s. But it was a guy who graduated from Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, and he decided that he wasn't really happy with his life. And so he donated all of his savings to charity, and he burned his Social Security card, and he started his journey to Alaska. And his plan was to live out there on his own in the wild by himself. And for a while, it went pretty well. He was having a good time, but then he eventually realized that happiness is only real when it is shared. And we know this from the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, we see God created the heavens and the earth, and then he created man. But he saw that man was not suitable to be by himself. He needed a helper. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God says, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." Obviously, from the beginning, it was part of God's plan for us to have relationships. Even Jesus had to build relationships. Jesus chose 12 men that he worked very closely with during his time on this earth. We see this in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, if you'd like to follow along. it says, "And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him." Jesus had to surround himself with men who were trying to accomplish the same goal that he was. It was up to Jesus and his apostles to spread the word of God. And it is incredibly important that we follow Jesus' example and that we surround ourselves with people who are striving to accomplish the same goals that we are. Jesus is quite obviously the greatest example of the power of influence. The concept of influence is covered in a multitude of passages in the Bible. First, I'd like to talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. It says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." It doesn't take much evil to mess up a lot of good. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump." You see, in relationships, two things are going to occur. We are going to be influenced by people, and we are also going to influence people. It is just a fact of life. In Romans chapter 14, verse 7, it says, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself." The influential nature of relationships is a huge reason why choosing the right people to surround ourselves with is so important. Who we surround ourselves with today will not only affect who we are on this earth, but where we will spend eternity. However, we do not need to avoid being friends with people just because they are not Christians. In this situation, we have a great opportunity to bring others close to Christ through our friendship. We have been given a calling in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Therefore, let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We are given a pretty tough challenge. We are challenged to be set apart from the majority of the people in the earth. But when we choose who we want to be in relationships with, we can start to accomplish our purpose in life, which is to bring others closer to heaven. Which brings me to my second point, which is purpose. We as humans are attracted to certain things in people. When we meet someone, and we do this subconsciously, but we begin to categorize them into people we could see ourselves being friends with or not. Now, is that wrong? Yes, probably is, but we do this as humans. We see someone and we sometimes judge them based off their looks or different things that we know that they do. But when we do this, we miss out on a beautiful friendship. And we can use this friendship to serve our one true purpose in life, which is to help others get closer to heaven. I know of one preacher who defines true success as going to heaven. If you realize this, then what else really matters in life? Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his soul?" Going to heaven will be a lot easier with the help of others. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor." This is why we must build relationships with purpose. This semester, I've had the opportunity to take a class called Bible Basis of Missions with Matt Cook. I know some of you may be in that class with me, and it's been a great opportunity because the first day of class, we began to talk about international mission work, domestic mission work, and it made me realize that there are a lot of opportunities throughout the day that I miss to try to impact someone for better of them, try to bring them closer to God, try to edify them. We must try to take the opportunities that God provides us. Last night in Faro Hall, we had a carbon monoxide leak. We all survived, luckily, I think. But we were outside for a long time, and I know that a lot of us were pretty disappointed because we were missing out on about 2 hours of sleep. But I know that a lot of people took that opportunity to meet new people last night. There's still a lot of people we haven't met. And so I know that I personally got to make a new relationship last night with a guy named John Mark. Shout out, John Mark. And so it was really cool to get to talk to somebody last night. And sometimes, even in the worst situations, we can bring good out of it. There are some examples in the Bible of relationships that didn't fulfill their purpose. We think of Solomon and his many wives, which that's just never a good idea anyway. But he had a lot of wives. And we see in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4, that his heart began to turn away from God to other gods. We also see the story of Samson and Delilah. And we know that that ultimately ended in Samson's death. But there are also some great examples of fruitful relationships in the Bible. One of the great examples is David and Jonathan. David and Jonathan were best friends, and when Jonathan's father, Saul, wanted to kill David, Jonathan protected him with his own life. Another great example can be found with Paul and Timothy. Paul was a great mentor to Timothy. He took him under his wing, and he always encouraged him through his letters and his visits with him. The thing that both of these relationships had in common was their God-centered purpose. These men mutually edified each other in all that they did. And most importantly, these relationships had the right priority. Which brings me to my third and final point, priority. I'm almost certain that everyone in this room would agree that we need to put God first. This has been an idea that has been drilled into our heads at a very early age. We used to sing a song, at least where I grew up, and it said something like, Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. And I would certainly agree that this should be how our list of important things should go. But if we really take a look at our relationships, are we putting God first? I know that often in my life, I've put God on the back burner for my own selfish desires. When we put our earthly relationship before a relationship with our Heavenly Father, we have made a great mistake. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Even the people that we brought into, the people that some of you have brought into this world, your children, and the people that brought us into this world, are not more important than God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This means we put Christ first in all that we do. So what are some ways that we can help to prioritize our lives? First, we can focus on holiness and not happiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. If we try to focus on happiness in our relationships, then it's just not going to happen. We must first focus on making ourselves holy and then trying to make the people that we are in relationships with holy as well, and then happiness will follow. Second, we need to give God our undivided attention. I really appreciated Austin's lesson in a lot of ways, and one thing that he said is we need to put away our phones, put away distractions, and this can be relationships. We need to put those things away, and we need to spend some one-on-one time with God. Although Christianity is about more than just reading the Bible, we still need to read the Bible so we can study and we can show ourselves approved. We also need to talk to God. Some of the freshmen in here may not know who Midley Jadis is, but he always says before he prays, let's talk to God. And I think it's really important that we think of our relationship with God in that way. We think of prayer in that way, that we can take anything, any problem that we have to God. God is the best listener that there will ever be, so we need to use the blessing of prayer to its full extent. And third, and most importantly, we need to put God at the center of our relationship. A relationship that is not focused on God is doomed to fail. We need to pray, read, and study together. Ultimately, though, the most important relationship that we will ever have is with God. He is our Creator, our Redeemer, and our friend. If a relationship is keeping us from being close to God, then we have to make a choice. Either A, we follow God, even if that means we end the relationship, or B, we say, this relationship is more important than God. And we all know that that second answer isn't right. There's a quote by a woman named Mary Stevenson that many of us have probably heard before, and I'm just going to warn you, it is a little sappy, but it's great. So I'm going to read it to you real quick. One night, I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times, there were one set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, that you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there have only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you the most, you have not been there for me?" And the Lord replied, "The times when you have seen only one set of footprints is when I carried you." If we put all of our faith and our trust in Jesus, then he will carry us through the darkest situations in our life. If your earthly relationships have been holding you back from being the Christian you need to be, then although it's difficult, you know what you need to do. It may not be easy, but anything is possible when the Lord is on our side. If you feel like you have grown distant from God, you can come back to him tonight. Or if you feel like you have never accepted God and you need to accept him as your Lord and Savior and put on Christ in baptism, then why not do that tonight as we stand, as we sing?